Good morning, everyone. Find your seat.
Am I bothering you?
No, not at all.
You're bothering me.
Yeah. Hey, Jake.
Yes.
Welcome to Woodbury.
There's money in it for the next year.
Okay. Sounds like we're going to have some fun today. Hey, I wanted to tell you, you know, we're into like week three of Easter. Easter usually runs 5 weeks. Actually, it runs all the way to Pentecost, which will be on May 19th this year. But I kind of, you know, this will be my Easter teaching. And since it is the third Sunday, it's known as Jubilant Sunday. And that's what that actually says up there, but it's in Latin or something else that I don't teach, but understand or talk. But it actually comes from Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. One of the things that I think about when I hear this verse, I think about the fact that I don't know how many times I use that exclamation mark. And I don't think I do it near enough. I tend to have a theory that we tend to never get as high as we do low. We never seem to get as excited about things as we get about worried about things. You guys with me? And that's what Jubilation Sunday is all about. It's all about, listen, we've already talked about Christ rising from the dead. He is risen. Say something. Come on. He is risen. Right. So now we've already went through that. We've already established the fact that he's risen. And now we're celebrating the fact that he's alive. And we're celebrating the fact that he's alive. He's among us. He's answering our prayer. I have a theory that, like I said, that we never get as high as we do low. Now, I made sure I put we on this because if I'd have put you, Julie would have corrected me. But we will worry about every little thing. Any worriers out there? Amen. Not to mention every medium and large thing, but we will worry about every dang little thing. And Jubilant Sunday reminds us, hey, there's a lot for us to be excited about. So as we come into this thing, we come into it knowing that some of us are like this. Something good happens, and we're halfway enjoying it, but we're kind of waiting on the other foot to drop. Anybody like that? Yeah. We never get as high as we do low. Something happens, we half enjoy it, wait for the other shoot. Sometimes we're just self-destructive. We're thinking to ourselves, well, I don't even deserve this good thing happening to me. Any of you like that? Thank you. Thank you. We got three of you like that. The rest of you on health line. Sometimes we have destructive thoughts. Well, I don't even deserve to be this happy. I don't do this right. Some of y'all talk to yourself. If you talk to me the way you talk to yourself, I'd slap you. So what I want to do today, I want to focus this morning on getting high. Well, let me rephrase that. I want to focus this morning on getting high that Jubilant Sunday at TLR, since we're going to call it Get High Sunday, and the way we're going to marriage this thing is to look like this. Here's what I do. I halfway walk out that door expecting my Explorer not to start. It's an old Explorer. I halfway think it probably won't even start. And then when it does start, I just act like I expected it to start. Right? If it don't start, I kick it and cuss it. But man, I never stop to think, boom, it started again. So today, We're going to start this one. On a scale of Doug's old Explorer starting to Christ being risen from the dead, tell me something that you guys just makes you want to shout this morning. And it doesn't have to be anything big. What makes you want to shout this morning? Something, because here's what we need to know. We do enough of this. Worrying is praying for what you don't want. How many of you knew that? That's what it is. Yeah, you ought to write that down. Write it on your hand if you have to.
I won't have to.
Worrying is praying for what you don't want. So this morning, we're not going to pray for what we don't want. We're going to give thanks for what we got. Somebody throw out something that made them excited this week. Go for it. Boom! Shout for joy to God. All their her son is about to get a full ride scholarship. Somebody give me another one. It don't have to be that big. It just has to be bigger than my old truck starting. Yes, sure.
But now that we're getting an extra $500 back on a credit because
the homeschool ticket. Cha-ching. How many of you have been complaining about taxes? Complaining about taxes? There's something to get excited about. What do you got?
My grandson-in-law called and said he'd mow my yard for me.
You know that news couldn't get any better unless he called and said he'd do mine too. Not really, man. I'm thankful that I have the strength and the power to do mine, and I'm glad he's doing yours. And Angie's back there just waving her arms like she's at a concert. I'd rather it be like a concert than a funeral in here. Trust me. I'm used to that. Do that. What? What do you got? It's going to be a good day for that.
We bought plane tickets to go to Florida and take the kids to Disney World.
Woo! That's good. Shout for joy. Anybody got anything else we can shout about? Shout! Now, see, here's how we think. Here's how we think, Joey. You and I looked at each other like, wonder if we'll get invited to this church, right? That's how we think. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, it just proves my point. You're awesome. Anything else we're going to shout about?
Her inviting me here and actually enjoying being around the environment.
Cool. No homework this weekend. Okay. How awesome are your deeds? If you want to change your life, and I think every time I come up here, I always give you one thing that can change your life. Start thinking about how awesome God's deeds are. You know, if we lived in a country where you know, you had a little, what would be a gator for us, just a little bitty tractor that 15 people rode to work on. You know, you'd never complain about an Explorer that wouldn't start. We got to turn that around. We got to shout more. We got to be excited more. We've just got to be appreciative more than what we are. I want to go through a quick bit of scripture for you because some of y'all, like your moms or whatever, call, and they'll say, did you go to church? And you'll be like, yeah, sort of. Well, if we do scripture, it makes it official. So here we go. And this is Paul writing. And, you know, Herb knows this about me. Paul just tells it like it is. And that's why I like Paul. I don't like the gobbledygook. Here's Paul. He says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospels I preached to you, which you received, which you stand, by which you're being saved. This is a good Sunday for you guys to be here because this is going to kind of give you a mindset of where we're at. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with Scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers all at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some may have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, to all the apostles. Last of all,
as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. I want to go through just a couple things for you, because I think this is one of those things that we need to be reminded of. And I know we need to be reminded of it, because right off the bat, Uncle Paul tells us, I would remind you. How many of you need reminders? I need reminders all the time. I would get mad at Julie reminding me all the time. If she didn't, I'd forget. And I have to remind her. I had to remind her of something we'd agreed to do this morning that was just an absolute blur mystery to her. Who do we remind? We remind people that tend to be forgetful. We remind people that are forgetful. Paul wants us to know that we're forgetful. We're prone to forget things. And he said, I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to forget the gospel. I don't want you to forget Jesus. And I don't want any of you to forget Jesus and the things that Jesus has said to you. He's accepted you. He said, I'm not ashamed to call Joey my brother. So why would Joey listen to any voice in his head or any voice outside of his head if Jesus said to him, I'm not ashamed to call you my brother? Man, that's something you ought to shout about. That's something to shout about. That Jesus is not afraid to call us brother. We will listen to every critic, everybody that doesn't like us, everybody. And we tend to forget what Jesus is, what Jesus said, and what Jesus believes about us. We're prone to forget. He said, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospels I preached, which you stand. And he calls us brothers. And they use this term, and it means brothers and sisters. But what it's saying is, you sisters have all the same rights as us brothers have. Do y'all get that? So he's reminding us that we're brothers and we need the community of being together. And you need to find you a church where you can be in community with it. And I hope and I'm glad you guys have found one. You need to be in community with each other. He's saying you need to help one another, serve one another, love one another, walk with one another. I was telling Quinn to fill in at a little church, and I told somebody about it, and they said, isn't that church too for you? And I'm not even going to tell you what the was, only to say this. I don't have to agree with everything in that little church. I don't have to agree with everything in this little church. We got to learn to start agreeing with God. Amen? And you know, sometimes John and I are walking like this, and sometimes we're walking like that, but eventually we're going to get to the same place if we stand in what we received when we were saved. Does that make sense to you? We don't have to agree. If Quinn and I agreed on everything, one of us would be useless. What good would it be to you? You'd have one very narrow, constricted view. If you like this place, maybe you like it because you get a variety of views. And I don't think that's a bad thing. We need community, but we don't necessarily need conformity. Does that make sense? We don't have to have everybody that teaches here to agree with me. The conformity we need is in our walk, that we're walking the way we're talking. That's the conformity we need. I use this example. George Will, this guy George Will is a writer. You know him. It used to be when Newsweek. You guys remember magazines? Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, they used to be these paper things with staples in them, you know, and you turn the pages on them, and you got to the back of the Newsweek, there was usually one called George Will, and he wrote about politics and everything. Well, it turns out he's an expert on baseball. He can tell you everything about baseball, but he's not my favorite player. Get it? It doesn't really matter all your talk. It's how you do your walk. You see how that pulled together? George Will, he knows everything about the baseball, but he can't hit a curveball. He'd be the first to tell you that. The conformity we need is our walk matches our talk. Not so much that Joey and I decide which foot to stand on when we take communion. Because Joey's messed up, man. He thinks you stand on your left foot, and I know you stand on your right. You were going to say left. Oh, my God. Hey, listen. Let's move on, Joey. Joey's sitting there wishing he hadn't sat there. Okay, here we go. You got to hold on to the word that I preached to you. Paul wants to remind us that you need to be preached at. And Paul will preach at you. Paul doesn't share good advice with you. He shares good news with you. And Paul doesn't seem to apologize for it. We all need course correction. Some of us need it more than others. I've had the wrong thought in my head and been course corrected by something one of the musicians said. Does that make sense to you? We need that course correction. You do not need to think you know everything about Jesus. All that does is make him laugh. He's not impressed by that. We need to hear and be preached to. Paul makes sure we know that you need to be preached to. He also says that the gospel needs to be received. The gospel which you received. I think sometimes we forget that too, that the gospel itself has to be received. Paul is a guy. Now check this out. Listen, this is important. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. This was a young, urban, sexual, confused, educated, a bit proud, and a pretentious young church. Sound like anybody we know? Right? So he's talking to that group, and he's saying, you've got to stand there. You got to stand there where you've been saved. You got to hold fast, lest what I preach to you is in vain. And then he tells them what he preached to him. He said, I preached to you what I first delivered to you. I delivered to you of first importance what I also received. He wants you to receive what was delivered to you. How many of you have stuff delivered to you? What do you get delivered to you? Go ahead, say it. Smoochy face, say it. What were you going to say? What were you going to say? What do you get delivered to your house, guys? What do you get delivered? Pizza. What else you get delivered to your house? Mail. Hey, you guys quiet down. You woke the baby. Sorry. I wasn't trying to wake that one. I was trying to wake these ones. Okay, two things. We get mail delivered to our house. Listen, you deliver the mail. You don't write the letters. You don't rewrite the letters. You deliver the mail. Right? You understand that? You get a pizza. They don't change the toppings on the way to your house. You deliver it. Same way with this gospel that he preached to him. He said, listen, I've just delivered it to you the way it was delivered to me. I've got it. Now you've got it. You ordered pepperoni pizza. I'm giving you pepperoni pizza. I'm giving you what you ordered. I am giving to you what I am just a deliverer. Paul says, listen, I'm just a deliverer. You need to see this because at the end he's going to say, I'm the best, you know what, deliverer that God put on the face of the earth. Right now he's saying, no, I'm just a deliverer. You don't like what I have to say, John? I'm just a deliverer. Paul says, I deliver to you what was first important, that Christ died for our sins. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we need a Savior. I want you to know when Christ went to that cross, the old timers used to call it the great exchange. Every bad thing you ever did, John, every bad thing you're ever going to do, every bad thought you ever had, all those things was set over on Jesus so he could set all of his righteousness on you. And that's something we're shouting over. Because he did it not knowing that John would ever come into this church or any church. That's something worth shouting about. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we are sinners. All the guilt, the filth, the shame, your failures. They all went to Jesus. For us, he was cursed, he was defiled, he was broken, he was ashamed. And all of his righteousness came to you. I don't know how many of you ever get to thinking that you just don't deserve that. But if Jesus was here, he would take your face in his hands. One of my favorite pictures is a picture of the girl that was caught in adultery. There's a famous painting. You may know the name of it, Jen. And sorry, brother. I don't know you that well. He takes her hands in his face like that. And that's the painting of him lifting her up this way. And I want you to know, I don't know what you've done, and I don't care what you've done. Jesus wants to look you right in the eye with his hands on his face and say, "You're forgiven." And that is a gospel that was first preached to us. So when you become a Christian, you get that exchange in you. You become a new Christian. You're forgiven. You're clean. You got a new mind, new desire, new community, new identity. And then there's the next thing he wants to remind us is this. Now listen to this carefully, because we had little short ones. The gospel must be preached. The gospel must be received. He reminds us that he just is a deliverer. Now he's going to remind her, this one's a little bit longer, so here it goes. You ready? He reminds him that Jesus was raised from the dead, and there was a lot of people that saw this, and some were still alive, so go check with them. This is an undeniable fact. Jesus is alive, so go eat pig, Sadducees. You know why they were Sadducees? They didn't believe in the resurrection. They were sad. You see. Read an interesting article this week. A Jewish fellow, a Jewish scholar and historian, gave an interview around Easter. He still had not acquiesced to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. But he said, "I historically believe it was a fact that God raised the Rabbi Yeshua from the dead." Isn't that interesting? I thought that was the most amazing thing. He reminds us that people seen this. He said, "Look, there was 500 brothers at one time. Some of them are still alive. Go check. Go check on what we've said." He appeared to James. He appeared to all the apostles. And he says, "Last of all, that's the one untimely born. He appeared to me also." I just think that's absolutely neat that there's so much about that that he wants us to see. And then he says, "I'm unworthy to be an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." I don't know what the worst thing you decided that you ever did was, but I'd say persecuting the church probably ranks right up there. You know what I mean? Some of you are wondering about something you did when you were in college when nobody was looking. I'm guessing it wasn't quite as bad as persecuting the church. The last thing you wanted if you lived back in these days was to have Paul show up to your house church. You understand that? You didn't close your eyes and pray around Paul because you never knew if he was going to hit you, chain you, or what. This guy was the persecutor of the church. But Paul had his whole life changed because he met a risen Jesus. So he's basically saying, "Trust me. You know me. I'm unworthy." He deals with that right off the front. "I'm unworthy because I persecuted the church, but now look where I'm at. Trust me, death is conquered. Sin is forgiven. Trust me. I tried not to believe it, but I could not disprove it." Some of us have, I think, pretty weak ideas of what grace is. And this is important. I want to make sure we get to this. Pretty much the story of my life as far as grace was is I figured, and see if most of you have this too. My view of God was he was kind of very far away. I was supposed to try really, really hard. When I fail, God is disappointed and judges me. But Jesus comes along and forgives me because he knows really how pathetic I really am. Isn't that very motivating? Isn't that good news? Hey, God expects you to do the impossible. And he knows you can't. But Jesus will forgive you because he knows how pathetic you are. It's kind of like God saying, "Run through this wall." And it's like, run through this wall? You run through this wall. I know you can't do it. Just try it. And you try it and you run into the wall and you get a sore head and you say, "What am I supposed to be doing?" Well, you're supposed to persevere, so run through the wall again. Isn't that Christianity? Keep running through the wall. Quit sinning. What happens if I just stop beating my head against the wall? Well, you'll go to hell. Here's the truth in that. Here's the truth in this. Grace does forgive you when you fall. But beyond grace, there's power. There is power. Grace is God empowering you to be who you cannot be. Grace is God's power to do things that you just don't have the power to possess. God's grace doesn't just pick you up when you fall. It keeps you strong so that you don't have to fall. You're not going to be able to bust your head through that wall. You're going to have the power of God in your life. Here's that part. Paul said, and I love this, God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Now, does that sound modest to you guys? To me, it's just like, he's up there. He says, I worked harder than the disciples. I worked harder than the rest of them. So, boom, and drops his mic and he walks off. And that's usually not how we expect Christians to behave. But then he explains it. He said, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I. But the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I, through the grace of God that is with me, or they, those slacking disciples, who didn't work near as hard as I did, but it doesn't matter, because it was because of the grace of God that was with them. We preached, and you believed. I want to make sure that we leave here knowing this. The gospel is the most important thing. This gospel was first preached in the Old Testament by God himself. Genesis chapter 3. He looked at Adam and Eve, and he said, I put a seed of enmity between you and her seed. And that is what Jen would call proto-evangelium, or the original gospel, the first gospel. And he predicted that this seed, and if you look in any Bible, you see it says her seed, and the her's not capitalized, the seed's capitalized, because he's looking ahead and saying, between you and the serpent, between good and evil, I'm going to raise someone up, a seed, and that seed will come between you. Jubilant Sunday is a Sunday that we rejoice and we shout because Jesus was that seed. Jesus gave us hint that he was a seed. When he would walk around the earth, he'd say stuff like, well, a seed has to die, be put in the ground before it can bear fruit, right? Said that stuff all the time. We never paid attention because we didn't know. Jubilant Sunday reminds us that the seed has been put into the ground and is springing forth life. The death, burial, resurrection of the important thing is the most important thing, because this power that's going to keep you from just running your head into the wall, this power that's just going to, every morning you get up and boy, you want to change. How many of you want to change? How many of you want to lose weight? How many of you? How many of you? How many of you? There's a power available to do change in your life, but it's the power of God. Otherwise, you're just going to be hitting your head against this wall. The gospel is the most important thing. The resurrection of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection is the most important thing of the most important thing, because you will never be able to do all that Jesus-y stuff without the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? You just can't do it on your own. It's not just you. I can't do it. Nobody can do it. It's like hitting your head against the wall. You'll never be able to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit, without this power of the resurrection, without this grace of God that's in you. Have you ever met Christians that just look beat down? No power in their life? Old Christians like that? Anybody ever met old Christians like that? I don't want you to be old Christians like that. How's that? How many of you want to get old? Thank you. Yeah. I'm telling you, getting old ain't that bad. It really isn't. You get a lot of cool things. You get a kid. You get a little kid. You take them home. They're done. Boom. It's really neat. There's a lot of good things about being old. You want to get old. Don't you? You don't want to be old and bitter. You don't want to be old and have your head sore from beating it into a wall. You want to get old in the grace of God. You want to get old and not bitter. You want to understand that God will empower you to do everything He wants you to do, and that you can live your life that way. Or if you choose, you can live a different way. I want you to know that by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm not all that I should be. I'm not all that I should be. But I'm moving toward that. I don't want His grace toward me to be in vain. I don't want His grace toward Rick to be in vain. I don't want His grace toward Matt be in vain. I don't want His grace toward Christina to be in vain. I don't want His grace toward Quinn to be in vain. I worked harder than any of them, but it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Let us work on getting that grace and that power in us and in this church. Because with it, we can do great things. We can happily do great things. Without it, we can sadly do ungreat things. Why would we choose to do sadly ungreat things when we can do happily good things? Does that make sense? Then let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for what You did on the cross. We want to thank You for putting someone between us and the evil one. We want to thank You for being that seed that has sprouted from the soil that lives. Lord, we want to be more thankful people. We want to be a first and foremost, step one of our action plan. We're going to be thankful when the old truck starts. We're going to be thankful when we turn on the water spout and we get hot or cold at our whim. We're going to be more thankful people. It's Jubilee Sunday. We're thankful for all that You've given us, Lord. Help us to be more thankful. There's nothing that puts me off anymore than an ungrateful person. Lord, help us not to be that. Help us not to be ungrateful. Lord, we pray that the grace that You bestowed upon us on the cross does not go in vain, that You birth something in us, that power of the resurrection comes alive in our heart, that Holy Spirit works in us to where we can happily, through that, do great things. Because without it, I know we're going to just sadly, like robots, go from trying to do this to trying to do that, never having success. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your grace. Help us to always be mindful of what You did for us on the cross. Help us to always be mindful that it's not us that does great things, but is You working through us. And we'll give You all the praise and all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. One more thing I want to do. If you're going this coming weekend on the wedding encounter trip, I want you to come up. And the rest of us are going to come around and gather around you in prayer that you guys have just an awesome time of fellowship and renewal. So come on up quickly, quickly. Thank you. Now, if some of the rest of you come up here and let's pray for these people. So get in there close. So hopefully they'll heat the rest of y'all up and throw some water on this one. Okay. Julie, come on up. Julie Adams, come up here and pray for them. They're getting ready to go on their wedding encounter, and we just pray that they meet God there, they draw them together. Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this family here that you've brought together from all different areas and different thoughts, and now we're a family, and we're going to send part of our family out next weekend, and we just ask your blessing on them to make them stronger, make them closer to each other, and they'll just find great grace next weekend and passion for each other, and that you'll be with them every step of the way, and you'll ease any worries that they have about leaving kids behind and leaving kids for the first time, that they'll be in great care and they won't have to worry about that, and that they'll just have a great renewing weekend and loving of each other. In Jesus' name,
amen. 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 Amen.
And if you are a couple that once or still kind of on the fence about it, your husband is not here to ask, but my guess is that people can still sign up. Yeah, we think so. So church is paying the entry fee, and it will help make it work for you. However, also, next Sunday, there are going to be a bunch of people missing because they're all there. I don't even know. I'm the one that organizes Sundays, and I don't know what's happening next Sunday. So come here with us.